Well, I want to say again that I'm glad we're going to get new bodies, because my soul just about feels too good this morning to stay in this one. And I know that we wouldn't be able to really fully stand in the presence of the Lord in this corruptible body. It just wouldn't stand it. But one day we'll be able to be in His presence, both soul and body. That's a wonderful thought to me.
I'd like to ask the church to pray for my son, Paul. I felt led to ask the church to pray for him. He's coming back here from Japan in about 2 weeks. And when you were talking about the new body, I was thinking about the night that he was saved. What a glow and a beauty in it. Now, his salvation didn't change his outward body at all, but there was just a joy and a peace that you could see and feel. And there is, you know, that expression I know will be with us in heaven. I don't know what our body will be like, but when you see somebody just freshly saved and that joy and that peace, it comes out. But I remember that, and I pray that the Lord will use him to His honor and glory when He comes back here. I want the church to pray for Him for a safe trip home.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Collins. Let's remember this. Remember Paul in your prayers. Well, I'm sure again today that this may seem like a strange way to start a sermon, but I want to follow the Lord today. I ask for your prayers. I wrote down some things, and I think that most of this is pretty accurate. But this right here at this time of year marks about 27 and a half years for me in the ministry. And in this time, in this 27 and a half years, I preached in 13 states. I've preached revivals in 8 different states. Pastored churches in 3 different states. Preached on the radio. I've preached, done television recordings in 3 different states. Preached in many churches, both in our old-time missionary Baptist churches and in churches that you and I wouldn't really consider to be true churches. But I've preached everywhere that somebody would give me the opportunity. And regardless of what people think about it, I think that's what we should do. We should preach wherever we're given the opportunity. Preached in tent revivals. Preached one time in a barn. Preached around a campfire. Preached in funeral homes. Preached in private homes. Preached in what has commonly been called cottage prayer meetings. Preached in nursing homes in 4 different states. And you may listen to this and say, well, why is Brother Miller telling us this today? Is he wanting us to see him or recognize him in some way? But the reason I'm telling you that is just the opposite reason. Reason I'm saying these things is these things that I have said, and there are men that have preached much longer than me, that have preached in more places than I have. But the reason I'm telling you these things is to say that these things that I have read before you today in whatever that I have done, that I stand before you today as one of the Lord's unprofitable servants. What I have done is what the Lord commanded me to do. And we find that verse recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and this isn't yet where I want to read from today, but we find that recorded in Luke 17:10, where Jesus Christ said that when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And so what I want to do today, and what has been on my heart so heavily this week, and today again, as I tried to say last week, I don't want to just stand before you today and preach a sermon. What I have to bring before you today is something that I'm deeply convicted about, something that I greatly believe. And I believe that God's Word teaches us this very plainly. What I would like to do today, and I know that I'll need God's help to do it, but what I would like to do today, and you pray for me, I would like to exalt the one before you today that ought to be exalted. I'd like to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, because the Apostle Paul wrote that if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands the Lord. If you're going to glory in anything at all today, glory in the fact that you know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. So when we have done all that we have been asked, all that we have been commanded, I should say, when we have done all that the Lord has commanded us to do, we have not gone above and beyond the call of duty. We have done that which was our duty to do. We have done that Paul described to us in his writing to the Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Which is your reasonable service. Our duty. We heard again in the Sunday school lesson this morning about duty, how that Solomon described what was the whole duty of man. Brother Edwards, Wednesday night, I thought brought a very timely lesson at prayer meeting, a very good lesson about the fear of God. And he said several times that in our nation that people seem to have lost the fear of God. And you know what I say about that? I say amen. That's exactly what's happening. And I know that it's hard for us to see all of these. It just seems like that every time we turn around, there's tragedy, isn't there? And I know that it's hard for us to see these things and to see what it does to people, what it does to families, what it does to the states in which people live. And somebody said this morning about people losing their houses and things through these things. But, you know, and we're all entitled to believe what we believe. And so I'll tell you what I believe. I believe we're going to continue to see these things until God gets our attention. I think that if we look in the first chapter of Isaiah and we read about the things that were happening there in Israel, that the things that we're seeing now in our country, I believe those things are identical. And God was using these things to get the attention of the nation of Israel, and I believe he's trying to get America's attention today. But Solomon said that to fear God and to keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. Now, you know what you'll do if you love the Lord? I mean, if you really love the Lord, it's easy to say words. It really is. It's not that big of an effort to speak something. Jesus talked about those that would honor him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. So it's not hard to say something, and it's easy to say, I love the Lord, but here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we really love the Lord, we won't just say it, but we'll show the Lord by keeping his commandments. We are duty-bound to do that, to do that that the Lord has commanded us to do. And so finally, I want to get to the scripture that I wanted to read from the 124th Psalm, and I want to read a very short scripture reading. Psalm 124, beginning with verse 1. This psalm consists of 8 verses. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, I got a blessing today. As Brother Ronnie was leading the singing, I got a great big blessing today when we were singing about being sheltered in the arms of God. The Lord moved upon my soul and made me feel good, blessed me mightily. I thought about that, you know, when I lay down at night in my bed, I know my sons and their wives that live in Illinois this week at night, they had a tornado go through right where they live. And you know, this life is not very certain, is it? In fact, it's very uncertain. We don't have a clue what will happen to us from day to day. Only God is able to see those things, and only God knows if there's a tomorrow for us and if there will be a tomorrow for each of us individually. And only God knows what will take place in those things. I do know this from the reading of the scriptures, that life can change drastically in a day. You read about the life of Job and see how much his life was changed in the course of a single day. Things can change drastically in your life in a day. But I know this, that when I lay down at night, I know this, that when I go to sleep, if the storms begin to blow, if the wind begins to blow outside and the rain begins to fall and the hail or whatever that it is, I'm just as safe can be, because I've been saved and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. If you're saved, you're sheltered in the arms of God. God won't lose one of his children. Not one. We're safe. We are safe forevermore, sheltered in the arms of God. You know what the Bible tells us? through the writings of the Apostle Peter, it says that we are ready, those of us who are saved, that God has begotten us again unto a living, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want to tell you something. This is not the way that I thought the sermon would go, but you know what? I'm content today to just let God have His way. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and He has begotten us to an inheritance that is incorruptible and that is undefiled and that will not fade away. Reserved in heaven. We are being kept by the power of God. Ready. Ready to be revealed in the last time. If the Lord comes today, if you have been saved by His grace, if the Lord comes today and brings an end to all of this that is going on in this world, we are ready. We're ready. If you're saved by God's grace and you die and leave this world today, friends, listen, you are ready. No matter what, you are ready to be revealed in the last time, because we are saved by grace. We are sustained through this life by His grace, and we are kept by the power of God. You know, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, where He talked about the security of the believer, He said that there is no man that is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. My Father that gave them unto Me is greater than all, and there is no man that is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. And so when you think about those who have been saved, you think about the hand of God, and God has got all of His children in His huge hand, and He has got such a tight grip on His children that the devil cannot come by and pluck even one of them out of His hand. Not one. I'll tell you what, if you're here today and you're lost, you need to get saved, because you'll never find safety in anything like you will in the Lord. Have nothing today to boast about. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. That was the title that I wanted to use here this morning. If it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side. When our enemies rose up against us, they would have gotten us. That's what David was saying here concerning Israel. When things come up against us, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have been destroyed. The Bible says that it's by His mercies that we're not consumed. The church here at Fairview Memorial has been going for many years now. But you know what? As we meet here today and we come together in this place and we worship, we don't continue to do this. We don't continue to be here, and this church has not continued here through the years because that she's had good pastors or good deacons or faithful members or any of that. We have continued because the Lord is on her side. You know, we need to be sure. I told you in the beginning, this is something that I believe in very strongly. I believe in giving God the credit. I believe in giving God the glory because, listen, all that God has to do, all that God, and this has been proven many, many, many times, all that God has to do to protect a nation is to overshadow that nation with His protection. That's all that's necessary for a nation to be safe, is for God to overshadow that nation. And all that is necessary for a nation to suffer a great tragedy and great destruction is for God to lift His hand. And it's going to come. God keeps us. Anything that I've done wouldn't have been done had it not been for the Lord. Wouldn't have been done had it not been for God. If the Lord had not moved upon my heart in the years of my youth and made it known to me that I was lost and without Him. If the Lord had not one night when I came before Him seeking Him, if the Lord had not been gracious to me and been willing to save my soul, if the Lord had not called me into the ministry in the spring of 1981, well, the winter, really, of 1981. If the Lord had not led me by His Spirit throughout the years, if the Lord had not sustained me through the trials of the ministry, I wouldn't have anything to say today if it had not been for the Lord. You know, I'm beginning to believe that evidently, you just must not be able to learn how to preach. I guess you just can't accomplish that because after 27 and a half years, and I've heard men make the same statement that I'm about to make that have preached for over 50 years, but this morning, early this morning, before I came, I began to think about these things. And I found that I had to go into my study. I had to go in there and I had to get down on the floor. I had to get down on my knees before God. And I had to begin to pray and I had to ask God to help me today to be able to come here and stand before this His people and preach the Word of God to them because I didn't feel like that I could do it by myself. And we need to remember the time-honored words of the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Nothing. And you know what I believe Jesus meant by that? I believe He meant that you can't do anything good without me. You know, there is something I can do without the Lord. There is something that I can do totally without the Lord, totally independent and separate of the Lord. There's something that I can do and there's something that you can do. You know what it is? Make a mess. We can really make a mess of things without the Lord. But if we're going to do things that are good, if we're going to accomplish things that are helpful, if we're going to do things that will be of any eternal benefit and value to anybody, we are going to have to do those things by the help of the Lord. And the only way that we will accomplish them is if the Lord is on our side. And so to God be the glory for everything that we may accomplish. You know, I think of this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, and I don't I don't expect to ever be the preacher that Paul was. But I think about what he said about his ministry recorded in that verse in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And as I stand before you today and from time to time to preach, you know what? Necessity is laid upon me. God commanded this of me. God asked this of me. And you need to be willing to do whatever God would ask of you. If God asks something of you, do it. If God asks you to whatever that God asks of you, don't ever think about it being too small or too insignificant to make a difference. Friends, listen, God can take just a couple of words and mixed with His Spirit and turn a nation upside down with them. Don't ever think of anything being too small. Whatever God does ask of you or commands of you, do it. And then give the glory to Him, because we are just His unprofitable servants. Well, will those who preach the gospel be rewarded? I suppose. Yes, I suppose. Paul wrote about his ministry when he wrote to Timothy, and he realized that his time was almost over, and he wrote to Timothy and he said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Will there be rewards? I suppose there will be. Will there be rewards for those that have served the Lord in the office of deacon? I suppose there will be. I want to give you this verse from 1 Timothy 3:13, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Will there be rewards for those who have served the Lord and honored the Lord with their lives in the laity of the church, the lay members of the church? Yes, I suppose there will be. Because Jesus taught us that He would reward even for the smallest of things if they're done in a way that those who are doing them are striving to faithfully serve Him. You know what He told us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, that even a drink of water, even the giving of a cold drink of water, would bring about a reward. "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." You know, we make this statement sometimes when we're talking about the church. We make this statement sometimes when we're talking about this particular body. We say, "My church." You know, this is my church. And we understand in that what we mean by that. But listen, this is not our church. This is the Lord's church. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the owner of the church. And when we use that terminology, when we say "my church," we understand that we are talking about that particular body that we have been blessed and privileged enough to be a member of. But I'll tell you who Fairview Memorial belongs to. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. It's His church. He has left us in here to take care of it. And you know what? We are obligated to take care of it the way that He told us to take care of it. We are not at liberty to do whatever we want to do. God left us here with something that belongs to Him. He gave us the book of instructions as to how to take care of it, and we are duty-bound and obligated to take care of it exactly the way that God told us to take care of it. You know, a lot of the Lord's churches through the years didn't do that. They saw that different beliefs, different doctrines weren't getting them where they wanted to be, and they changed them. Well, I'll tell you what the Lord will do. I'll tell you exactly what He'll do when a church does that. He'll just pick that candlestick up and He'll just walk away. If we don't maintain the way that He told us to, He won't be with us. What did the Lord say? He promised to be with us as long as we teach everything that He has commanded. And He said, then I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So it belongs to the Lord. Well, I want to finish my thought, and I'll be done here in a moment. I know... I don't feel like this has been anything but scattered today, but I hope it's helped you in some way. Some verses I love in the Bible. I know that whatever we do, whatever that it is, however that God blesses us, whatever it is that God decides to give us, however it is that He decides to reward us, be it a crown or whatever that it is, I know this, that we will be happy and we will be content when we see Him to take whatever it is that God has given us and lay it down before Him. You know, I don't know what you, how you have envisioned things. I don't know how you have envisioned the time when we see the Lord coming in the clouds of heaven. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'll tell you what mine have been. My thoughts were that I would bow my knees as close to the earth as I could get them and just say, there comes my King. There's my King. I bow to Him. I reverence Him and I honor Him. I think when we come before the Lord in this life, we ought to come before Him with a humble heart, knowing that we don't deserve anything that God has done for us and anything that He's given us, but just thankful for His grace that He's been willing to do it. In Revelation chapter 4, I want to read verses 9 through 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. For whose pleasure? For His. Not for mine. Not for yours. Not for anybody else's. God didn't do the things that He has done for our pleasure, or for our credit, or for our glory. He did those things for His. God didn't save you for your glory. He saved you for His. He didn't save you when you came to the Lord seeking Him. He didn't save you for your sake. He saved you and forgave you for Christ's sake. That's what the Bible says, that we were forgiven for Christ's sake. He didn't call us, those of us who preach, He didn't call us into the ministry for our recognition. He called us into the ministry that we could lift up Jesus before a lost and dying world. I'd like to lift Him up. I wish I could do a better job of lifting Him up. I do. I'd like to be able to just lift Him up there where I'd like to be able to just stand before a congregation of people and preach God's word in a way that my face would just disappear and people would see the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. When we preach His word or we sing hymns or whatever that it is, we ought to do them in the spirit and in the understanding that it'll be Jesus that's exalted. Jesus that's lifted up. And if we lift Him up, He'll draw people to Him. I thank God for His goodness and for His blessings. And one day I'm going to step into His world, His glory world. I'm going to walk into heaven one day and be there in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to be there because the Lord was gracious to me and no other reason. That's the Bible teaches us. That's one of the great reasons that God made the plan of salvation to be by grace, to prevent us from boasting. It is not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so we give God the glory. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference, does it? Whatever we do, whether it's testifying or preaching a sermon or whatever that it is, it doesn't make any difference how good of a job that you think you do. It doesn't make any difference, you know, when you stand up and testify and go away thinking, well, you know, I wasn't able to say things the way I wanted to say them. It's not about talent. It's about obedience. It's about a willing heart. It's about honoring the Lord. Listen, if you did what the Lord asked you to do, you give God the glory for that, and don't worry about what people may say. Serve the Lord and honor Him. Let God have His way, because it's our duty to do everything that He has commanded us to do. I hope that something's been said today that's been a help to you in some small way. So may God bless you, and I appreciate your attention. I would like for us to stand and have a verse or two of a song.